الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We mentioned prior to this the significance of takbir-e-tahrima, then thana, and then the reason for ta'awud, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, then tasmiyah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And we started the explanation of Surah Fatiha. One is, there are many specialities of Surah Fatiha. First and foremost, that the Quranic Kareem starts with Surah Fatiha. Then our Salat also commences with Surah Fatiha. Mufassirin have written, in terms of the first Surah that was revealed in completion, that means the entire Surah, not piecemeal, was Surah Fatiha. So its khususiyat is in terms of its speciality, of being, if the Quran commences with it, Salat commences with it, in terms of Nuzul, in terms of revelation, it was the first complete surah that was revealed. And then Surah Fatiha is actually the matan, the original text of the Quran Kareem. And so to say, the remaining Quran Kareem is a tashri', the explanation of Surah Fatiha. Because if you look, the whole of deen primarily has two things. One is iman and amal-e-saliha. So indication is given to Surah Fatiha, in Surah Fatiha of this, and the Quran Kareem then explains then this iman and amal saliha. And there is a hadith, and therefore Surah Fatiha, from this, because it is a text and the rest of the Quran Kareem is an explanation, the name has come of Surah Fatiha of Ummul Quran, where it is just a surah, but the hadith refers to it as Ummul Quran, the mother of the Quran Kareem, Ummul Kitab. In fact, Quran Azim it is referred to also. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that I take an oath by the being in whose hands is my life, that no heavenly scripture has come like the Quran Karim, like Surah Fatiha. Not even in the Torah, not even in the Zabur, not even in the Injil, is there any surah similar to Surah Fatiha. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes further and says that not even in the Quran Kareem is there any surah similar to Surah Fatiha. And it is referred to in the hadith as shifa, it is a cure. Hazrat Maulana Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, in Ma'arif al-Quran has written that when we talk of cure, first and foremost of ailments of the heart. Secondly, cure of the physical self. So even by reading Surah Fatiha, and the Quran Kareem in itself is a cure for first and foremost for the ailments of the heart. And if a person with yaqeen reads it for the ailments of his bodily ailments and illnesses, inshallah it will be a cure for that as well. Therefore in the hadith, it is referred to as Surah Shifa, the Surah of cure. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that in the entire, the most azim surah in the Quran Kareem is Surah Fatiha. And in one hadith, Abdul Malik bin Umair reports as a mursal riwayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that Fatihatul Kitab shifa'un min kulli da. That Surah Fatiha is a cure from every form of illness. And as I also mentioned yesterday, that Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned the 2/3 reward of the Quran Kareem you get by just reading Surah Fatiha. If you take the Quran Kareem to have 3,202,670 letters, then approximately Surah Fatiha will give you the reward of 2,135,113 letters reward, just reading Surah Fatiha. So it's just mind boggling how Allah Ta'ala out of His karam wants to bestow. It is that we have to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and we know from the other hadith, there's a riwayat in Muslim Sharif of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that explains that Surah Fatiha, that Allah explains the Surah Fatiha is a dialogue with Allah. That when a person, that half is for me and half is for my servant, and then Allah says whatever my servant asks, it is for him what he has asked. That means primarily the first three ayats have got to do with the hamd, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the last three ayats have got to do with asking dua. And the middle ayat was a seven ayats. The middle ayat has got to do, one is for our need, and one is to express our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, sab tarife Allah ko hai. All praises is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have explained this yesterday as well, that any form of praise, anything that has any form of perfection, beauty, it surpasses the rest. All that is solely and only due to Allah. Because whatever kamalat, whatever perfection is in anything, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah. Then Rabbul Alameen, Rabb, is that being, Mufassirin have written, that brings you into wujud, that brings you into existence. Then slowly, slowly, shay'an fa shay'an, tadrijan, slowly, takes you to perfection and culmination, and with compassion. One explanation of Rabb is that Zaat that show out of his compassion, and his benevolence, and his kindness, nurtures a thing, cherishes a thing, nourishes a thing, till he makes it reach culmination and perfection. And if you look at ourselves, what we were once upon a time, our beginnings, what our level of intellect, and capacities we had, we hardly had. And then now that Allah Ta'ala has given us intelligence, movement of body, physical strength, etc. So that is that Zaat. Rabbul Alameen. The Lord of the Rabb, the sustainer of the worlds. The worlds, that is mind-boggling just to... Imam Abu Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned that there are approximately 40,000 worlds. In fact, the Mufassir, Imam al-Tafsir, Imam Muqatil rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that there are over 80,000 worlds. And then he mentioned further that what we see from one side to the other is one world. That means from the north and the south, the earth in itself is a world. And then if we take world to be a different creations, we can take world to be different planets. That is, and if you just look at the earth in itself, that the mass of the earth is about 5.974 times 10 to the power 23 tons. That means 10 followed by 21. 10 followed by 21 zero tons is the weight of the earth itself. The equatorial diameter of the earth is approximately 10,756 kilometers. That is the equatorial diameter from one side to the other. The polar diameter from the top to the bottom is approximately 10,714 kilometers. The circumference of the earth, the complete circumference of the equatorial circumference, is approximately 40,075 kilometers. If you have to take a trip right around the earth. And the meridional circumference of the earth this way around is about 40,008 kilometers. It's spinning on its own axis at approximately a speed of 1,000 kilometers an hour. If in slightly slower, we will fall off. Slightly faster, we will become dizzy. Allah's kamal in such a way, it is torqued exactly perfect that we don't fall off. And imagine the thing is rotating all the time, and it is round. Common sense would tell you that people have to fall off. Probably we'll say, okay, the people on the top, Hazrat explains, and as Hakim Sahib also explains this, there we can understand to a certain extent, the feet at the bottom, the head is on the top, they're standing like this, this is the head. So we can understand them not falling off. But the people in the southern hemisphere, logically, their feet is up, their head is the other way around. You don't hear ever in the news that last night 2,000 people fell off the earth. They just vanished. So imagine that spinning to such a perfection, and we don't see people upside down. The way we see it is like everybody's normal. Their feet is on the ground, their head is above, and it's rotating. If there's any slower rotation of this earth, it will be problematic. Any faster rotation, it will be problematic. That is the earth so massive. If you look at Jupiter in itself, it's 1300 times larger than the earth. And the sun is much, much bigger than Jupiter. If you look at the sun in itself, in terms of distance from us to the earth, the sun is 93 million miles. 93 million miles. And it is written that if the sun comes a little closer than that, then everything on the earth will burn. And if it goes further back, everything will freeze. Total perfection. The way Allah Ta'ala has created it, the distance. And we say 30 degrees, we feel so hot. Or the surface temperature of the sun is about 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. If you look at the core temperature of the sun, is 27,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Every second, the sun throws out energy equivalent to 1 million atom bombs. One atom bomb in Hiroshima, the next in Nagasaki, and what, till now, the devastation of these areas, how many years ago? From the Second World War on. And every second, the sun throws the energy of 1 million atom bombs. And the mass of the sun is 330,000 times that of the earth. That is one other planet. That is nothing compared to what other stars and etc. Allah Ta'ala has kept. The star Antares is approximately 300 million kilometers in size. The sun alone is 1,392,000 kilometers. 1 million. The star Antares is 300 million. 300 times the size of the sun alone. And if you carry on, there are bigger stars than even the Antares. The one is the VY Canis Majoris. This is approximately 7 quadrillion Earths can fit in this one. 7 quadrillion Earths. And even the Quran Kareem refers to some of this. We think it's science and it's... For example, the Quran Kareem says, وَسَمَاءٍ وَطَارِقٍ. What is a toric? A toric is those pulses. They are highly magnetized. They are rotating with neutrons. And this is even far bigger. I mentioned that the VY Canis Majoris, 7 quadrillion Earths can fall in it. And the VY Canis Majoris is bigger than that also. Then the galaxies are even bigger. In fact, all these planets, no matter how big they are, whether it is the sun, whether it is Jupiter, whether it is the remaining stars, they are all specks in the galaxy, in their own galaxy. And the galaxies are in itself are millions of galaxies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And bigger than that also, then we get our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Then we get the black hole. That is also mind-boggling as to how massive it is. So when Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbul Alameen, that Allah, all praises due to Rabb, who is the sustainer of all the worlds. And then in the hadith it comes when a servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds. It is a conversation with Allah. Hazrat explains, it is a dialogue. It is not a monologue where, like, you know, when initially the cell phone came out, the person to impress everybody that he's so important, he basically just puts a ring on and then he's speaking to nobody. Everybody thinks he's got so much context, etc. But unlike that, Hazrat explains, that Surah Fatiha is a monologue. And the hadith of Muslim Sharif, immediately Allah Ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi. Allah acknowledges your praising of him. So don't think it's just praises that's gone into space, into air, into nothing. Immediately Allah Ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi. Therefore, ulama have written that a person of ishq and a person who understands this, when he reads Surah Fatiha, Imam, etc., then he'll make waqf, he will stop. So that Allah Ta'ala can respond, Hamidani Abdi, that my servant has praised me. So all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person, the servant says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, immediately Allah Ta'ala says, Asna alayya abdi. And there's a slight difference between hamd and tana. One is that all beauty belongs solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all free from all faults. And maliki yawmiddin, then immediately Allah Ta'ala responds, Majjadani abdi, that my servant has exalted me. So it is a dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, most merciful. And Rahman, this will be a sifat that will encompass everything. Muslims, non-Muslims, animals. That is why a lioness has compassion for its cub. And the love that we see between animals, whether it's a hyena and its offspring, between elephants and his offspring. Whatever love we see is all from the sifat of Rahman. And that only Allah Ta'ala has made manifestation of one out of 100 portions of his mercy, because of which we love each other, we care for each other. 99 is reserved for akhirat. And in that one is so powerful that we find a carnivorous animal has compassion for its own offspring. Can you imagine what is the remaining 99 which Allah Ta'ala has reserved for the Muslimin only in akhirat. And that Allah Ta'ala will make his manifestation in akhirat. So, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, bahut meherban, nihayat raham wala, most compassionate, most merciful. Maliki yawmiddin. The Malik is the owner. And we shouldn't translate it as the judge of the day of Qiyamah. He's not the judge of the day of Qiyamah. He's more than a judge. A judge, as it explains, is restricted in his judgment. He has to confine with the rules and regulations set up by parliament and by the constitution of the country. If a person gives a judgment contrary to the constitution of the country, you can appeal against that. Whether you take from the magistrate's court to the high court, to the supreme court, and eventually in our country, the constitutional court. But Allah Ta'ala is not only the judge, He's the owner. He can make a decision that nobody can question. Ulama have written to that extent, if Allah desires to send all the kuffar to Jannah, nobody can object. If Allah send all the Muslims to Jahannam, nobody can object. Obviously Allah has got certain rules and regulations, which He has binded Himself. Not that anybody else has bounded Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is free from anybody binding Allah. Therefore He's Maliki Yawmiddin. He's the owner of the day of Qiyamah. He do as he pleases. When a person owns something, nobody can question him. It is his sole authority regarding that. So Malik, Allah Ta'ala is the owner of the day of Qiyamah. Malik Insaf ke din. So there immediately Allah Ta'ala responds by saying, Majjadani Abdi. Then this is the middle ayat, the first three ayats was regarding praises of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So when a person reads Surah Fatiha, take that pause, and Hazrat explained, that one is minimum, that if you can't hear it with the ears of our head, let's hear the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the ears of the heart. That have yaqeen, that my Allah is responding to me. It is a dialogue with Allah. I've expressed my sentiments, my deep felt thoughts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has responded. And as I said, they were such pious people in the past that actually forget, heard with the ears of their heart, have heard the response of Allah with the ears of their head. That they worked so much on the inside that they could hear the response of Allah. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'bud. And if you look at Alhamd, and the first thing when Allah says all praises Rabbul Alameen, that being that has brought you into existence and nurtured you. Ulama have written that this refers to the path, that means your wujud, your existence coming into existence. So for that also you require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For your wujud, for your existence you require Allah. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, to an extent show the path. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, for your present existence and to continue, you require presently for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. That without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot survive. We are totally dependent on the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every second of our life. Then Maliki Yawmiddin makes ishara towards the future. But that is Qiyamah. So in the past we required Allah and the mercies of Allah. Presently we required Allah and the mercies of Allah. In future also for our eventual najat, we require Allah and the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the presently, in the past, presently and in the future. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. The owner of the day of judgment. And when Allah is all this, then it just stands to reason logically that ayat that follows is in total conformity to logic. That is just natural expression. When my existence was because of you, every second of my life I require you. In future I require you. Then only you are worthy of worship, nobody else. When nobody else has created me, my existence doesn't depend on anybody else besides Allah. And I require only Allah in every second of my life. Then it just stands to reason, if you look at Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, it's a natural flow from the three sentiments that you have expressed already. Ya Allah, is you alone to be worshipped. And you alone do we seek assistance from. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. And this is a confession that we are making to Allah. And it is imperative that now we remain onto the confession we have made to Allah. It can't be that we have made our shab our ma'bud. We have made ourselves our ma'bud, worthy of worship. At times we have made our spouse ma'bud. We have made anything ghayrullah ma'bud. Where we are expressing to Allah every day, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And you alone do we seek assistance from. So in fact, after salat, you should remember of the confessions that you have made to Allah. It can't be that now we have an opportunity to take from Allah, that we seek assistance only from you. But immediately outside the masjid, you stretch your hands to insan. And you show your zillat to insan. First and foremost, to take from Allah, because this is in conformity to your confession. And it is logical that you only take from Allah. And it is logical that you worship Allah alone. When He has given you existence, He has cherished you, He has nourished you with compassion, with love. He has brought you to fruition, culmination, perfection in every regard. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek assistance from. And then, when that being is such, then it's just natural that we make dua to Allah alone. And look at this. Allah has taught us what is our greatest need. It's Allah's love on the basis of His Rahman and of Him being Rahim that He has taught us what to ask. Can you imagine if it was left to our conscience every day in Salah to make one request? What request we would make? Small, trivial things. One car, one shop, one house. The most important thing we would have forgotten. So Allah says, I know of my banda what he's going to ask. Let me teach him what to ask. Let me ask him that which is the most important. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. And the straight path, what is guidance? Ulama have written, what is hidayat? Hidayat is to take somebody by his hands. One is to show a person direction. For example, for you ask a person direction and he tells you, okay, that you go straight, first robot, you turn right, then third stop street, you turn left, and then you continue for about 5 kilometers, and then you reach a destination, etc. That is, you direct a person verbally. And one is out of compassion, you take a person by his hand and say, let me reach, take you to the point. Hidayat is that. To take a person and bring him to culmination and fruition and perfection in spirituality and in every regard. That is hidayat. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us onto the straight path. And then in another part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains what is the sirat al-mustaqim. The path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. And the Salihin, the Shuhada, and the Martyrs. They also look at the tartib that Allah Ta'ala has used. First the Anbiya, because nobody can surpass their rank. And then a question might come, as it explains, and as Hakim Sahib also explains, that the Sadiqeen and the Salihin has been even mentioned prior to the Martyrs, where outwardly, from insan's perspective, that your life is the most important to you, and the most important and the ultimate sacrifice is to give your life in for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has mentioned even the Sadiqeen prior to those that are martyrs. And as the Hakim Sahib explains, that a martyr gives his life once and his life is gone. But a person that is Sadiq fit taqwa, that is genuine in his taqwa, he has to carry on giving his life all the time. Every moment of his existence he has to give his life. He has to turn his blood into water, because there is the requirement of the eye or seeing that which is not permissible. And that we will see in our country, even if you go to any marketplace, etc. All the time you have to fight your nafs within. You have to turn your blood into water. As it explains that the martyr only gives his blood. But a sadiq not only gives his blood, he turns his blood into water to that extent. To be sadiq fit taqwa. And what is sadiq fit taqwa? Allah Ta'ala explains in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. O those that have brought iman, that fear Allah. And what is the easiest way of getting this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has given the recipe. Kunu ma'as sadiqin. Be with those that are genuine. Sadiqin, genuine. And as it also explains, as Hakim Sahib explains, that if a person comes with this argument that, you know, I don't see genuine righteous people, That is a total false claim. That the righteous people of this time are not like the previous time. That we accept. But then obviously we are weaker, so the sulaha and those will be according to us. And if a person says that there isn't the sadiq any longer, that means he is saying that Allah's claim in the Quran is false. Till the day of Qiyamah and till the end, in every generation there will be sadiqeen. Because Allah has given us the instruction to be what the pious and the righteous. Mujaddid al-Millat, Mawlana Ashraf Thani rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned that in the case where a person feels that there isn't a pious person in his locality, then sit in the company of the muaddin of that masjid. Because he is at least calling people 5 times a day, whether he's paid or not paid, but he's still giving da'wat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay in his company. So this is one's ego that says that no, yes, we'll say there isn't people like Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi. Where you get people like Hazrat Mawlana Masud Khan sahab rahmatullah alayhi today? But then how are we also? And there's also we can understand that they were according to the status and the people of their time. The mashayikh today will be according to the status and the people of their time. And then Hazrat Rakim sahab gives an example. He says, for example, if a person got diarrhea, and now he checks some Hakim kitab of the previous generation, and he decides, mashallah, take some nuskha and some medication from there. As I say, before he starts taking the medication, he must dig his grave first. Because he hasn't got the stomach to withstand the medication of the previous generation. For example, even today, to open Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi's kitab and to make amal, ulama have written, make amal according to the mashayikh of the time. Because probably you won't have within yourself the capacity of following the teachings of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi. Kunu mas sadiqeen, those that are sadiq fit taqwa in your time, follow their path. And as it goes further, he says, only people of intelligence will understand. Even sunnat is a tariqah of the pious of your time. How they have understood sunnat and how they have applied it in their lives. That will be sunnah. Otherwise, if you just read, for example, the Bali that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate. Now today in the Khanqah we say we want to get you to the ultimate spiritual level. So inshallah, from today, what food was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Probably the Shaykh will remain alone. Who's going to eat? In Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala zamana, which was not even so long from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, they found it difficult to eat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's food. And that was still part of Khairul Qurun. Whereas eating refined flour and bread. And we're going to eat coarse barley. So that means that which is comfortable in our time, what ulama have mentioned is sunnat in our time will be sunnat. And who is, look at the beauty. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullah. Reason would be that Allah would say, wa kunu ma'al muttaqin. That if you want taqwa, find it by the people of taqwa. But Allah did not say that the people of taqwa. Allah said, sadiqeen. Those that are genuine in the taqwa. And what is the sidq fi taqwa? That means it's not an apparent show of taqwa. And ulama have explained, alladhi la yukhalifuhu zahiruhu batinahu. The person whose outward is not in conflict with his inward. That means his outward and his inward is in sync, completely the same. What he, alladhi la yukhalifu aqwaluhu a'maluhu, wala a'maluhu aqwaluhu. Alladhi la yukhalifu sirruhu alaniyatahu, wala alaniyatuhu sirruhu. That his private life and his public life is the same. Not outwardly, mashallah, when he's with people, he's so humble, generous, etc., like a sheep, like a lamb. And at the home, he's like a wild tiger, a tiger that has been left loose. That even the children are afraid, and the spouse is afraid, and wishing the longer he stays out of house, the better for all of us. That is a show of taqwa. There's a show of piety. And the best testimony is the wife. And to get an NOC, as it says, NOC, no objection certificate from the wife, that's a real virtual impossibility. And if she can say you are genuine, then you mate. Not because she wants to go to the mall, and she'll change her, after you bring her back from the mall, then she changes her tune. So, sadiq fit taqwa. Kunu ma sadiqin. Those that are sadiq fit taqwa. That there is no show. What is their outward life is their inward life. What they speak is what is their jazbat, what is their inner requirements. And many times we are treading this path. But till now we are frustrated, we can't understand, we have brought zahir, amal in our lives, etc. But we are not finding the inner peace that these amal are supposed to offer. The one primary reason is we are still not sadiq with taqwa. If we are still on the stage, we are impressing people, and we are not becoming genuine. The quicker a person becomes a genuine article, the quicker a person becomes a genuine article, and leaves this Bollywood life of his, of show, and impressing, the quicker you will find inner peace. That's why many times you find people saying that, MashaAllah, I am bear to a sheikh for so many years, but I'm still not finding any changes. I still find a depressive mode in myself. When I wake up in the morning, I'm sad. When I go to sleep, I'm sad. Sadness comes from the depth of my stomach, MashaAllah. The reason is we're still not genuine. When you start becoming genuine, then you'll get the fruits of all those amal. And the quicker a person can leave that false life, a life of pretense, this life of Bollywood and stage show, the quicker he'll find inner peace. And thus you have to make an intention. And then you'll know, mashallah, in the moment that you're alone, what is your thought? What is your jazbat? What is your desire? When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thought that comes? Always respect the first thought that comes into your mind in the morning. Because that's what you really are. Where there's only my shop, where must I put the article in order to sell? Or whether I'm going to be, to the best of my ability, 100% on itaat today. And not engage for one second in Allah's disobedience. That will give you a great idea as to what is your insight. And if you find that your insight is only dunya, then make effort and become genuine. Become genuine. Let there not be any contradiction between your lips and your heart. Let there not be contradiction between your private life and your public life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is the path that we are asking. The path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. The path of the Siddiqeen. The path of the Shuhada. The path of the Salihin. Those are sadiq fit taqwa. اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The straight path. And Hazrat explains, what is the straight path? Hazrat says, straight path is the shortest path between two points, which we call a line. A line is the shortest path between two points. There can't be a shorter path between two points than a straight line. So what we are asking Allah, the straight path, meaning the shortest path to you. The shortest path. And the quickest path. And I explained earlier in the month of Ramadan, that one of the quickest way to Allah is through the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no quicker way. Ghaliban, Mujaddid, Hazrat Malaj, Al-Fitani Rahmatullah Ali, Mujaddid Al-Fitani Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned that I studied Zahir Ilm, the outward of Ilm. And I got some great proficiency and maharat in Zahir Ilm, the outward knowledge. That which we say, going to the Darul Room, studying the various kitabs, etc. And I got great efficiency in them, great proficiency in them. Then I made mashura with my asatida, then what should I do after this? So they said, combine Zahir Ilm with Batin Ilm. Outward and inward knowledge. So I asked, how do you get this Batin Ilm? You say, join outward, he said, go to Mashaykh. But because I was a studious type of individual, I thought I would just not go like that. I will study all four silsilas of tasawwuf and the four ways and the chains of tasawwuf. And I'll see which is the specialities of each one. He says, then I studied them first. After that, I went to a sheikh, etc., who I felt was in conformity to my mizaj, to my temperament, to my requirements, to my thoughts, etc. When I combine zahir and batin ilm, Hazrat says, such a kayfiyat, such a condition came into my life, that if I have to say what was my inner condition, people would pass fatwa of kufr in my direction. So therefore, I don't even want to utter what Allah Ta'ala had given to me by combining zahir and batin ilm. But he says, after all of that, that means the mujahada of what is the different tariqs of tasawwuf, etc. But he says, what I can tell you as the conclusion of my entire life and all my research and studies, that still to, despite all that, the quickest way to Allah is through the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. to become conscious, to become obsessed with sunnah. And this, again and again, we ask the same questions. MashaAllah, we have ilm of sunnahs, but have we genuinely got in our lives? As it says, we think we're reading Bismillah when we're eating, but take a note and take stock. Do I really read? Or I take it for granted that I'm reading. If I terminate my eating, the appropriate dua, do I genuinely read it, or I think I am reading it? I wore my clothes this morning, and am I aware that now even sometimes we see the brothers feeling hot. MashaAllah, we're sitting in the khanka. We're feeling hot Isha time, Tarawih time, because the heaters are on, the aircon is on, and we take out our jackets. But till now, we're not conscious, we take out our left first or right first. Whatever comes out first, comes out first. A person that is Ashiqi Rasul cannot take out the right first. Because that is his thought, that no action contrary to the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That I wore my clothes, I wore my jersey this morning. Really, can I say consciously that I wore the right? Or I can't remember. I wore my clothing this morning. Truly I know the du'as. Have I read it? Each one can ask. Anybody, mashallah? How many read du'as for wearing clothing this morning? One. Anybody else? Two. MashaAllah, every year we make the same tashkil. How is it possible? That such a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like clothing, but oblivious of where it has come from, and no gratitude. Dua is, wallah, it's just your way of saying Allah, thank you. It's acknowledgement. And a person, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The more you come onto sunnah, the more Allah will open to it. We sat in a car, we might have come to the program, did we consciously read the du'as, etc. We left the house, and I mentioned that while we are sleeping in our places, at least understand this to be, the Hazrat explains, this is the ICU. We think it is special treatment. As I said, we are very, very sick. So therefore, they have confined us. Quarantine. If a person sees it that way, wallah, you'll see how quick your tarbiyat will be. And you think that it's not, mashallah, it's from the people that are serving us, that they are making it as comfortable as possible for us. That is their kindness and compassion and love that they have done this. But for us, we should say that I'm extremely sick. So the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very, very fast way. Ihdina siratul mustaqim, the straight path. This path that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us. Then inshallah we'll explain the remaining aspect. Then what are we telling Allah every day when we sing ghayril maghdubi alayhim wal dhalin? What acknowledgements we are making, what confessions we are making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then how is it possible that which we are asking Allah to keep us away from in a manner that is totally contrary. For example, we are wearing the clothing of the kuffar and yahud while performing salah, but still telling Allah, not the path of the Christians and the Jews. So how can our salah transform us when we are not genuine? That this is their tariq, this is their methodology, this is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no zahir of sunnah in my life. There is no jazbat of sunnah within me. There is no appearance of sunnah within me. And I'm telling Allah every day, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَدْضَالِ. So Allah Ta'ala gives all tawfiq. Subhanallah, yubi hamdik. Subhanakallah, yubi hamdik.